The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. And Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you then that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. For almost 30 years now, I have a tradition when I preach at a funeral or a memorial service. There's a reading that I use to kind of remind me about who I am and why I'm here. And so for these 30 years, I have read something called The Affirmation of the Gift of Life. And so I'd like to read that reading to you now as I begin the message. At this very moment, a loving God is fully present. And he is bringing to all of us three special gifts: the gift of unconditional love, the gift of eternal life, the gift of reunion with all of our loved ones. And yet there is still one more gift that I'm seeking, and I'm seeking that gift from all of you. Let every person who has gathered here today for this service be resolved in your heart and in your mind that you would never let the death of a person to ever become greater than the life of that person who has shared life with you. We also affirm that God's grace is sufficient for every need. And so St. Paul joins us in all of our affirmations when he writes in the 8th chapter of Romans and says, "There is absolutely nothing, not even death, that can ever separate any of us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. You're going to hear my voice, but you're really going to hear the words of family and friends and Pastor Larry and many people. So I'm really just being the messenger today with all these things. For my tribute, I'd like to begin by saying at this moment, all of us have come together for a very special reason: to remember a young man whose life is going to live forever in the lives of his family, in the lives of his congregation, and in the heart of this community. Because everywhere he went, you'll hear a story about how he brought his light to every single person along the way. I'm always grateful for people like Clay because they live in a way that teaches us to have simple pleasures, to have an understanding that the best things in life are those things that simply make our heart skip a little beat every once in a while, those things that make us happy inside, those things that unite us together. For example, if you look at the picture on the cover of the bulletin, you'll see a very beautiful picture of him being at a Reba McEntire concert. and of course, what I find great connection in that, because Reba and I have something in common, in that we're both beautiful redheads, if you didn't know that about me. But I also love that his love of country music and country music videos, where he would spend a lot of time enjoying that. And then he spent hours watching the videos of St. Thomas and your worship, because that brought him great meaning, brought him great connection to the words of God. He is known for having his love for the scriptures. And if you went to the visitation last night or today, you would have seen a very beautiful Bible that he's holding on to and grasping. And so that was his newest Bible that he wanted to have for the Word of God to be a part of his life. And then I think what we need to know and affirm is that I think Clay had the heart of a pastor. I think he had the heart of a pastor. And now you say, what's the heart of a pastor? Well, the heart of a pastor is always looking out for the other person. The heart of a pastor always wants to genuinely know, you know, how you are doing. A heart of a pastor wants you to know that together, whatever we're facing together, it's going to be okay. And I really think he had that heart of a pastor. But I also believe this. I've kind of added this in my own words to my writing here today. He also had the words of a prophet in him. Now let me tell you what that means. Most people think that the prophets were about predicting futuristic things. But that is not the real and primary role of a prophet. I remember I had a wonderful teacher. You may have known him throughout the years too in the Midlands here, Dr. Benny Biedenbaugh. He was an incredible man with great insights. And one day he was teaching us and telling us about the prophets. And he was saying, don't ever forget that the role of the prophet is to always call and gather people into the bosom of God. It's always calling God's people back to where they need to be. It's always calling them to be an act of worship. And everyone that has talked to me this week about Clay said how much they always felt closer to God because of who he was, that they felt connected. They felt that smile of his could just illuminate this entire sanctuary, and that you felt and you knew you were glad that you were here to be in this space with him. So not only a pastor's heart, but he really understood the calling of uniting people back to where we need to be and find our spiritual home with God. He was both pastor and prophet. He loved the Gospel of John. That was my dad's favorite gospel. My dad was a preacher for 50 years. That was my dad's favorite gospel. I was glad to hear that that was Clay's. I love the Gospel of John because it says such wonderful things to include everybody. You all know John 3:16. We all know that. We've known it since we were in kindergarten, basically, for God so loved the world. But every time I've ever used that as a hospice chaplain and a Lutheran pastor, I've always said, I'm going to include verse 17 along with 16 today. And then I tell the people, the reason I do that is because these words follow John 3:16. It says, for indeed, God did not send his son to our world to condemn it, but gave his son to this world in order that the entire world would be saved. It's an invitation. It's an inclusion. No one should be pushed away or excluded. John even says so much later on in his gospel when he says, Jesus says, whoever the Father gives to me shall come to me, for I will never turn anyone away. That is Clay's heart as well. He was a part of all things good, of all things holy. He had wonderful virtues. He had a warm and generous and contagious smile. And like Jesus, he was filled with hospitality, and he welcomed everyone who wanted to be a part of his life. But also, while living with very challenging vulnerabilities, what did he do with all those? He simply used them so that he could understand people with their vulnerabilities, with their special needs. It's where he found the seedbed of compassion and understanding. It's a wonderful way to be in the world because we live in a world, you know, that's not perfect, but it is beautiful. It is wonderful, especially when we find people to love and connect with. He has an ever-enduring impact and legacy. I would venture that if I could interview each one of you, all of you would have a story to tell me about the extra mile that he went with you, that smile that he gave you was just the ticket you needed on perhaps the day you came to church and you saw him. I'm going to stop for a moment to honor someone sitting here with the family. Patricia, I want to honor you today because, as I mentioned to you a little while ago, being in hospice all these years, I worked with so many people, the aides, the nurses, the social workers, all the extra people. But what I'm saying to you is you were You were the caregiver that God sent. You were the caregiver that God appointed. You said to me over there, he was your guy. And I'm grateful that you were his gal to be with him and understand him. Very happy for that. Many people have shared things with me. I'm going to read one thing. There's a man, I understand he works at the Publix uptown. His name is Brad Nahy. He went online because he wanted to say these words at this hour. I am deeply sorry to hear about the passing of your amazing, one-of-a-kind, highly intelligent, and adorable son, Clay. I will dearly miss seeing Clay at Publix and at church on Sunday mornings. Clay had a deep impact on me with how he lived his life full of difficulties and hardships. But at the same time, Clay always showed how much he cared about many others through the smiles and the feelings he transmitted from inside of himself to others. His love of God and of Jesus was so incredibly strong that I could certainly feel it from miles away. Clay was a huge blessing to everybody he met, and I will miss him dearly. And to the family, he says, and we will love you all. We're here today because Clay understood something called the grace of God. The grace of God is something we talk about. We use that word up and down and right and left. We use it all the time. But one time in my hospice ministry, I had a patient who was just bold enough to stop me and say, well, you're always talking about the grace of God, but you never tell us what it means sometimes. And he was right. He was right. And so I said to him, well, let me think for a moment, and then we'll have a good conversation about it. And so I thought about, what does that grace mean to me? What did it mean to Clay? And what does it mean to this beautiful family? And these are the words that I feel that God gave me to talk about grace. With God's grace, there are no ifs, there are no ands, there are no buts, there are no maybes. They're just the grace of God. They're just always there, and you don't ever have to borrow for them or beg for them. God, it is so pleasing to God to share his grace. And he would like us to live in such a way that we never have to worry about the ifs and the ands and the buts and the maybes. We know that we simply are his beloved children. Twice in the gospel, God felt the need to speak on behalf of his son. And he wanted the people who were listening to know one thing and one thing only. He said it at the baptism and he said it at the transfiguration. He said, this is my beloved son. He said, listen to him. To Fred and Annette, that's what I have felt this week. I have felt that if you've shared different things, but I felt that if you were to speak your declaration, you would say, this is my beloved son. This is the child of God that he entrusted us to. And I'm grateful. We can talk about Clay and his virtues, but I would also have people understand that he came from a home that practiced love and grace. He came from a home that practiced these virtues. None of us are raised in a vacuum. We are raised by people who offer what they know about God and the world, and it simply becomes part of our life as well. To Brandon and to Kenny, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your love. I'm grateful that as the younger people of this family, that you know that in some ways, you will now become the storytellers. You will become those who will share what you know, what you've learned. You will know what all the pictures mean. You will know what that Gamecock chocolate cake means. Someone dropped off a Gamecock chocolate cake to the family, which will probably not make it through the night, I'm thinking. But what I'm saying is that that's what falls to us, brothers and sisters. We become the storytellers later on. We just need to be a part of making that part of our story too. And I think he would be pleased to know that both of you loved him and cared for him. There are two promises that I like to tell people about on a funeral. In Revelation 21, God announces, I'm going to make everything new. And that was something that was very important to us this week, that he is new. There are no wheelchairs in heaven. That wheelchair, matter of fact, was designated, I don't know if it caught your eye or not, it was beautiful. That chair was designated with a beautiful rose in there today. But in some ways it was saying like, you've served your purpose. You've done what you've needed to do for us. And now we honor you for the strength and the back support and everything you did for our child. But that chair is empty and will always be empty now. I will make all things new. Please notice in just a very short use of words, he says, he doesn't say, I might do this. He says, I will do this. He doesn't say some things. He says all things. I will make all things new. And then returning to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, just a couple of hours before Jesus would go to the cross, he was very concerned about those gathered around him, his disciples. They just finished that meal. He knew the burden of what was about to be. And so he gathers them and he says, I've got something to tell you. In a little while, you shall not see me. But after a while, you shall all see me again. And true to form, the disciples said back to him, we don't understand these words. So he said it two more times. But on the third time, he gave it an extra qualifying understanding. He said, in a little while, you aren't going to see me. But after a while, you shall see me. And on that particular day, no one will take your joy away from you again. And once again, we see the beauty of that gospel, that we have nothing but enduring promises and hope because of the words of that book. I would like to now speak to you. Again, it's my voice, but it's not my words. A couple of days ago, I asked Larry, I said, I'd very much like for you to write something that I could read and share with the family and with the congregation. And so this comes from Pastor Larry. I first met Clay when he was 21 years old. And over the past 19 years, I loved having him worship with us. And I especially loved how he opened his mouth really wide to receive Holy Communion. Clay was truly an inspiration to our faith community. Noted Christian author and spiritual teacher Henry Nouwen wrote a book called Adam, God's Beloved in 1996. Adam was a young man profoundly handicapped from the L'Arche Daybreak community in Canada, where Nouwen lived and worked. Adam could not speak nor move without assistance. He was gripped by frequent seizures. He spent his life in obscurity. And yet for Nouwen, Adam became a close friend, teacher, and guide. And so to honor Adam, Henry Nouwen wrote these words. Adam was sent to our world to bring good news. It was his mission, as it was the very mission of Jesus. Adam was very simply and quietly and uniquely present. He was there. And he was a person who by his very life announced the marvelous mystery of our God. And what is that? God would say, I am precious, I am beloved, I am whole, I have been born of God. And so Adam bore witness to this mystery, which has nothing to do with whether or not he could speak or walk or express himself, whether or not he could make money or had a job, was fashionable or famous, married or single. It had to do only with his being. He was and is a beloved child of God. And it is the same good news that Jesus Christ came to announce. And so Pastor Larry wants us to hear this. And so as all of us celebrate the life of Clay Falls and the lives of all the Adams in the world we encounter, let us always give God the thanks. Thanks be to God for giving Clay to you and to you and to you, and for the great mystery he reminds us to love and be filled with grace. Amen.